The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
Well, I guess it's official. I'm now blue in the face. The kind of blue that frustrated people get when they've said something so many times they say they've done it till they're blue in the face. Recently, I received an email from someone who reads my commentaries on one of the many online platforms that republishes my messages from Wisconsin Christian News and our radio broadcast. This is someone who contacts me frequently, always starting out telling me how they enjoyed my message and agreed with most of it, but then spends another 15 minutes telling me how I missed the mark. Don't get me wrong, I can certainly take criticism, and believe me, I get more than my fair share. I don't claim to be infallible, and the messages I write are not always inclusive because space only allows me to cover so many aspects of any particular topic. Most recently, my critic accused me of never telling people the vital solution to America's problems. I was told that I'm correct about identifying and calling out the critical issues our society suffers from, but that I never offer the solution. This is a common correspondence that I receive from this person. They correct me weekly, no matter what I'm writing or talking about, and even when I do address the specific solutions this person is so insistent about, I never seem to do it to their satisfaction. So this past week, I wrote back that I do, in fact, address exactly their concerns frequently. I have, in fact, written and spoken extensively about the particular areas of Scripture they feel are most vitally important, and I agree with them. What they brought up is the solution we're all searching for. But I've covered these things so often I feel I've done it till I'm blue in the face, yet somehow they've missed all those articles. Maybe because they never bothered to visit our website, WisconsinChristianNews.com, subscribe to our newspaper, or get to know what our mission here is all about. They only read other websites, the ones that republish my articles, but some of which only publish the ones dealing with secular matters and not spiritual ones. But again, this person is correct about the solution, and although I've done it so often, I feel I've written and spoken on these things till I'm blue in the face, I'm going to do it again here because many of you have also somehow missed the importance of the solution to all our problems. I know many have missed it based on the responses I receive after my radio broadcast. I get a lot more response from people requesting transcripts or audio CDs to read or listen to again or share with others when I discuss things related to politics, government, globalism, or frightening things now manifesting on the earth. But when I speak on spiritual matters, it seems like no one's listening. Perhaps because my readers and listeners believe they already know all this. But it's one thing to have head knowledge and another thing to actually do something about it. Case in point, I've heard 2 Chronicles 7:14 recited so many times by well-meaning Christians who understand this is the answer we're so desperately seeking as a nation, but I don't think I've ever heard about anyone actually trying to implement what this verse calls us to do. So let's read it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The trouble is, most professing Christians don't think this applies to them, but it specifically applies to them. Our Heavenly Father is specifically saying, if my people, that means us, those who claim the name of Christ. Now, I believe if we call ourselves Christians, we'd better be sure we're not taking that sacred name in vain. What does this verse call God's people to do? One, humble themselves. That's a hard pill to swallow for so many churchgoers. After all, they're doing their duty. They attend church every week. Some are there every time the doors are open. They're involved, active in their local church. They give their money to the church and believe they have it all together. Yes, they're saved by grace, but are they humble? Are they teachable? Or do they think they already know all there is to know about our Creator and His commands? Do they survive on assumed grace, telling themselves that no one's perfect and God will certainly forgive all my past and future sins and my continued hidden sins are under the grace of the blood of the Lamb? Try to dig deeper into the Word of God or push to take Scripture literally and urge faithful churchgoers to even make an attempt to follow the commands of God, and you'll quickly find out how unhumble they really are. Number two, do we pray and seek God's face? And by that I mean, do we have an insatiable desire to have a close relationship with our Father through His Son, Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit? Or, when we pray, do we just take our wish list to Daddy, offer up quick, vain, meaningless prayers for ourselves and others, telling God what we want, rather than conversing with Him, drawing nearer to Him, like a child? I tend to frustrate people when I'm asked to lead corporate prayer because I don't pray like most of the professional Christians do when they're on stage. If you ask me to lead group prayer, it's not going to be what you're used to, because most people are used to short, concise, quick prayers that sound spiritual but have no depth and leave no room for any real personal impact. When I pray, I talk to God, then I listen for His response, then I reply and listen some more. I don't make a speech. It's a conversation, and I believe that's how prayer should be. That's what seeking His face means. And number three, turn from our wicked ways. Most professing Christians don't believe they have any wicked ways to turn from. They have an attitude of superiority over the fallen, lost sinners they encounter on the streets every day. This gets back to the aspect of humility. We all need to humble ourselves every day before Almighty God, grateful for what He's done for us. But we'll never get there if we never get honest with ourselves, pray, and truly seek His face. Most believe they're basically good people, good Christians. Well, Romans 3:10-12, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Psalm 14:3, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Instead of being haughty and smug about our position in Christ, we need to humble ourselves, pray, and seek His face. Not just acknowledge we're not perfect, but also turning from our wicked ways. And our prayer should be that of Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And our goal should be Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, our world today has millions of man-made laws. We struggle under a burden of rules and regulations, judicial decrees, unjust mandates, federal, state, and county laws, and local ordinances. Millions of them. But God, He gave us just 10 simple commands to follow. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we even attempted to follow those 10 commandments? And here's a challenge for you. If you're one of those faithful churchgoers, can you even tell me what those simple 10 commandments are without having to look them up? You'll find them in Exodus 20. Number one, have no other gods before Yahweh, the one and only true God. Number two, don't make idols and worship them. Number three, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 5, honor your mother and father. 6, don't commit murder. 7, don't commit adultery. 8, don't steal. 9, don't gossip, lie about others, or bear false witness. And 10, don't covet. In other words, don't jealously desire what someone else has. Now, I've written and spoken for years about the importance of God's 10 commandments until I've become blue in the face. 10 seemingly simple commandments, yet we've all broken all 10 of them, if not indeed, at least in our hearts, which is equally damning. The fact that most Christians can't even name all 10 in a row shows how casually we regard our so-called Christian faith. We should be ashamed, and this should lead us to humbling ourselves, praying and truly seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways. So is that what's happening? Of course not. We smugly recite 2 Chronicles 7:14, but have no intention of ever stirring the body of Christ to come up with an action plan which would revive a dying, dead, and outright apostate so-called church. Most don't even have any real intention of doing any of this in their own individual lives. Yes, we are saved by grace, by the blood of the Lamb, through humble repentance and faith. But that repentance isn't a one-time sinner's prayer. That confession is only the beginning of a lifetime of sanctification. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Yet most of us, even Christians, remain complacent, apathetic, and conformed to this world. When Moses was old, he knew his days on this earth were drawing to a close, and he penned a vital warning to his people, which we find in the book of Deuteronomy. I've dissected this area of scripture more times than I can count. I've written about it in depth. I've done radio commentaries on it that took multiple broadcasts to get through. I'd encourage you all to read that book, and especially chapter 28, and really do your best to soak it all in, because there's good news and bad news, and herein lies the answer to all of our nation's problems. Deuteronomy 28 were some of Moses' last words of instruction and warning to his nation, but they apply to all nations of the earth, and especially the United States and Western countries today. Verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Then comes an extensive list of blessings any nation can and will receive. But these amazing blessings are conditional. To receive them, a nation must observe and do all God's commandments. Yes, even after we walk the aisle and recite the sinner's prayer. But then comes the bad news. If a nation refuses to honor, obey, and follow these commands of God, horrific curses will fall upon those people. As I look around America today, it's easy to see which path we've chosen, because those curses are abundant everywhere you turn. We did enjoy the blessings at one time in this nation. Now, having abandoned God and his commands, we're reaping the curses. Most likely, you won't hear about this in church. Most likely, your pastor won't talk like I'm talking to you now. Some problems have very simple solutions, but our hardened hearts have become so selfish and conceited, we're unwilling to give our Creator even a scrap of reverence, awe, and obedience. You want to see our nation blessed? You know what to do. But I'm not holding my breath, because I'm already blue in the face. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com and ask for message number 475.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at WisconsinChristianNews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.